So we know that the Mass is the greatest prayer, right? And so that's why one of our parish priorities is enhancing the Sunday Mass experience. So if you enhance the Sunday Mass experience, you enhance the greatest prayer, the most powerful prayer. But as St. Teresa of Avila will say, that prayer is not enough. She says, growth and development in prayer demands two things, prayer and consideration or reflection. So she gives the example of just, you know, saying the words, but not being aware of what you're doing or who you're speaking to. She says, I don't even consider that prayer. All right? So prayer and consideration. Now, if we know we're here at Mass and we are offering and celebrating, praying the highest of all prayers, we need to know why and how it works. That's the consideration. That's the reflection part. That's what opens the door to that mystical union with the Lord. And so that's what we're going to reflect upon here this morning. We're going to do it in a little bit of a unique way. Three steps that Father Curtis likes to use. See, now I'm quoting Father Curtis the Great. You know, he'll be leaving us. We don't just call him Father Curtis. Father Curtis served here. He is known as Father Curtis the Great. Okay, so. And he gets this from St. Ignatius of Loyola. Three steps. Awareness, understanding, and response. So everything has to lead to action. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about the what, awareness, the why, or the understanding, which is the why, and then we're going to do. All right, so when we talk about the Mass, the reason that the Mass is the most powerful of all prayers, the greatest of all prayers, is simply because of this. It is what God does, not what we do. The Mass is about what God is doing. That's why it's the most powerful prayer. So if we don't get that and we don't appreciate that, we're just coming to Mass and we're doing our prayers. Well, it may not even seem like it's, you know, better than the prayer, devotional prayer, the silent prayer that I did this morning drinking my cup of coffee. I felt more connected to God doing that. Then we're putting the emphasis on ourselves. You see what I'm saying? So this prayer is the most powerful of all prayers because of what God does. Now, what is God doing? What is God doing? Let's get into this deeper question. So the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are all fully engaged and involved in the prayer of the Mass. Completely. So we go to that first reading from Exodus. Tells us a lot about worship. We hear Moses, what does he do? Moses goes, climbs the mountain of Sinai. So you think about the Israelite people and you think about ancient religions. Where did you go to pray and do world offer worship? To the highest place possible because you could be close to God, right? So you could connect with the Lord. So the idea here in the Mass is what? The altar is supposed to be elevated. And so you climb up the mountain, right, where prayer is going to happen, where worship is going to happen. And so Moses gets up to the top of Sinai, and then what happens? God comes down to him in a cloud. This was the mysterious presence of God throughout the Old Testament, that he would manifest himself by the presence of the cloud, the mysterious presence of God, the Shekinah. Okay, so, and we hear also in the New Testament, right, on Mount Tabor that God came down and we hear about the cloud again. This is the mysterious presence of God. And so, when God comes down, what are the words that immediately follow? God came down in the cloud, and immediately Moses got down to the ground, bent down, and worshiped. He bowed down to the ground and worshiped. You know what that looks like? Okay, I'm still young enough to get down and do this. I wanted to show you how young I was by shaving my beard and getting down on the ground. Okay. So he gets down, and so it's not just like, hey, God, give you a handshake, how you doing? Hey, bro, what's up? No, it's like he goes immediately. He doesn't have to think about it because he's in the presence of this awesomeness, correct? That's what's happening. And is it the awesomeness and the power of a tyrant? No, if it was the awesomeness and power of a tyrant, then what would happen? Moses would be like, how do I get out of here as quickly as possible and hide from this, right? But what is Moses, what do we hear? We hear God describe himself as what? Kind and merciful and gracious. And what is Moses, what's his response? He gets it and understands. He says, will you come and be with us and walk with us? That does not sound like the response of a person who thinks that God is a tyrant. We want you to be with us, even though we're a stiff-necked people, we're stubborn. Good thing we're not like that. Okay. So, there's a sense of familiarity that Moses wants God to be close and that God is intimate and personal, hospitable, kind, right? But there's also a sense of what? That Moses gets down to the ground, bows down, and worships. Because God is awesome, completely other. And so that forms the Jewish worship of the time. And so then you have the establishment of the temple and the placement of the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the Ten Commandments. And in their worship, one time every year, the high priest would go into the center of the temple where the Ark of the Covenant was lodged. One time a year, they would kill a bull and sprinkle the blood on the Ark, and the cloud of God, God's mysterious presence, the Shekinah, would be there. Only one time a year. And in fact, the priest wasn't even able to just go in there anytime that he wanted. If you heard me talk before on this matter, God told Moses to tell Aaron, you can't just come in here anytime you want to. All right? So this was the sacred, this holy of holies, the sanctuary. You know what we call this? The sanctuary. All right, are you following me? This is powerful stuff. And so what was the idea of the sacrifice of the bull? Okay, the bull was the victim. And it was seen that the victim and the victim's blood, the bull, received and contained the blood and sins of the people. So all of the sins of the people were taken up with the blood of the bull. And it was believed when the blood was sprinkled on the ark that it actually touched God and was made pure and made holy. And so as in the book of Deuteronomy, we hear that what? The blood is life. So our tainted life, our sinful life, united to this victim, is then what? Touches the life and blood of God and is made pure and holy. What we're going to do here this morning in our worship is something a little bit different. I'm going to be facing with you towards the liturgical east, not the actual east. If you read in my bulletin article, the east was always seen as the place where God dwelt. And so the idea was that we raise our hand, our minds, and our hearts to God when we turn towards the east. And so we enter into the sanctuary. Now here's the cool thing. The Second Vatican Council talked about that we are to have active and full participation at Mass. There are only three times that the priest turns around when he celebrates to the east. He says this: pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Did you hear that? My sacrifice. So that's the priest representing Jesus, but your sacrifice. You see, your blood is joined to the blood of Christ. Your sins are joined to the victim. Our sins are joined to the victim. And they're united as one. So there's a full participation. That my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. And so what's going to happen here then is the priest representing Christ is offering himself, joined with the people by the power of the Holy Spirit, offering to God the Father. All right, the next time that the priest turns around and he says, the peace of the Lord be with you always and with your spirit. Did you hear the second reading for today? Let us extend to one another the kiss of peace. And the idea is this peace represents a reconciliation that has happened. We're made one again because of what Christ has done. And then the third time the priest turns around, he says what? In the instructions, it says, show the people the host. So he turns around and he says the same words that John the Baptist said to the two apostles, future apostles, when he was pointing out Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. So now Christ has been offered, and now we live out the gospel that God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. Behold the Lamb of God. So at this part of the Mass, who gave his only begotten Son. And so we come up and receive him. And what does that mean for us? As St. John Paul II says, that the Holy Trinity now dwells and lives within us. And then we're ready to go out and proclaim the gospel. So this is why the Mass is the most awesome of all prayers, because of what God is doing here. Christ is uniting all of us, our sins, taking them upon himself, offering himself completely to the Father, touching the Shekinah, the presence of God. And then God the Father loving us so much that he gives us his only begotten Son, that he may dwell within us, live within us, that he may be poured out in love to us at all times through the gift of the Eucharist.